Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs on Election Day. It's November 3rd. Well, that was quick. I got that clicked through there a little too quickly on that one. Okay, it's November 3rd, 2020, and thanks for being with us today here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Got a nice show set up by my friends over at Norvin Nival Furniture. She'll be joining us, Jolene Levin, their founder and the CEO. We've got Mark Beebe, who designed this incredible school we're going to talk about. He's an architect from the firm of Lancer and Beebe, and now the principal of the incredible school we're going to talk about, which is Walnut Grove Elementary School in Greenwood, Indiana, and it's really a pretty cool place. We're going to show you how to go take a look at it, etc. We're going to specifically talk about how active learning environments promote positive student social emotional well-being. In other words, that environment you go to school in makes all the difference in the world, and it can be done, and they did it, and we're going to talk about what it looks like, how they brought it about, etc., with these three wonderful players. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education, to which all pre-K-12 educators are invited to join for free. All right, over at, again, ace-ed.org. You'll see our magazine over there, our online journal, the official journal of the consortium, which is called Equity and Access, and it is a terrific issue that we've got up there right now, and we're currently putting together the November issue. So please go over there, check it out. Again, you'll see an icon for all of our podcasts. All right, we tweet for this over at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, and Education Talk Radio on Facebook. So please join our consortium, ace-ed.org. So let's see. We'll start off with the rose amongst the thorns. Jolene, good morning, Mrs. Levine. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine. That's quite an Indiana accent you have there. What part of Indiana are you from?
Oh, you know, the good part.
Oh, okay, the Australian part. The Australian part. I know about that, right? And let's hear how their accent goes. Mark, hello. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Happy to be here this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sir. Mark is the BB and Lancer and BB Architects. They design schools, amongst other things. You can learn and see what they do. We're going to take you over there later over at Lancer, LancerBeebe.com. All right. And Brian, Principal Proctor. Great name, Principal Proctor. I like that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Good morning and to the rest of you guys. This is an Indian accent for sure.
It is, Australian accent. That's the Australian part of Indiana. Again, sounds just like it. Okay. At Walnut Grove Elementary, I saw a picture of the school on the Lancer BB website. It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And let's start there. Where is Greenwood? I think it's right outside of Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, and I think I've been there. And also tell us about your school. Brian.
Yeah, Greenwood is just south of Indianapolis. In the Center Grove Community School District. We have a space here that's absolutely incredible. A lot of design that went into it. I had the privilege of working with Mark Beebe in the design process. So some experience as a principal, being in the district and providing a lot of input into that design was critical to create what we have today.
Well, how old is the school, the new school?
This is our second year that we are in operation.
Wow, congratulations. And was there an old Walnut Grove Elementary School?
There was not. This was a design from the ground up.
Wow.
So this was our sixth elementary in the district that we added.
So therefore, we could assume that Center Grove is a growing community.
Oh, very. It's growing pretty quickly. Yes, sir.
Cool. And what is the demographics? Everybody likes to hear that to get a better picture of the school district education-wise. What are the demographics of the community? Is it an upscale community? Is it a – well, you describe it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an upscale community, a pretty robust area in terms of growing neighborhoods, growing school districts in regards to a well-rounded fine arts to athletic journey down the road for all of our students. But K-12, high academics, one of the top performers in the state in a lot of different areas. So,
cool. And is it Center Grove High School? Is that the name of the big high school?
Center Grove High School, yes, sir. That's absolutely correct.
Stop calling me sir. I'm going to have to move you off the show. I'm Larry. Okay.
All right, Larry.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Okay. Brian, what is the name of the team at Center Grove for the high school?
Center Grove Trojans.
The Trojans. Go Trojans. And what's the name at Walnut Grove? What's it, Willow Grove?
Walnut Grove Wildcats. We are the Wildcats.
The Wildcats, okay? I did my Philadelphia thing. There was a Willow Grove there. I almost made that mistake. Okay, so I'm in Maine, but I grew up in Philly, so I knew it all so well. Let's get the players down. Mark Beebe is one of the partners at Lancer and Beebe Architects. Tell us what you guys do for a living, Mark.
So we are focused on education design. We're an architecture and interior design firm here in downtown Indianapolis. We work across mostly the state of Indiana, but we have done some work out of state as well. So being focused on education design, we enjoy talking with folks like Brian and people in the education world about what trends and changes they see coming. We really enjoy spending time in the research side of education design and really love working with folks like Brian and exploring what new education spaces could look like in the future.
And how'd you get involved in designing education space? I'm curious.
Well, you know, it's a project type that is extremely rewarding. You know, early on in my career, I got into education design, and with the first project I did, watching kids come into school for the first day, just seeing their eyes light up and their faces just full of a bright cheer, you know, walking into a brand new space made all the difference. So I was hooked from the start, just seeing the reaction kids have when they walk into a brand new school space.
Nice. And how many schools have you guys designed or built or whatever the word is?
Yes. No,
let me say it a different way. How many schools have you worked on? That's a better way to say it. Inside
around. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we do additions, renovations. It's large to small. It covers the whole gamut. We've probably done a couple hundred education design facilities of varying sizes. You know, I got to say, and I'm not just saying this because Brian's on the phone, but Walnut Grove is absolutely my favorite to date. It was a joy to work through the process and then see the reaction from kids when they walk in the front door.
Kids and the community, okay? And that's key because the community paid for it. And, man, you know, when you get that sense, it's just incredible. Okay, congratulations. I saw it's a beautiful school, and you did a good job. We'll talk about it. Jolene, tell everybody about Northern Ivel.
So Northern Ivel was very lucky to be a contributor to this project. You know, like the same thing that Mark says, you know, for us, the joy is being able to actually bring something into these school communities that we know make a difference in kids' lives. So anytime we get the opportunity to be selected to be, you know, a part of this, a part of a community like Walnut Grove Elementary, it's a very exciting time for us.
It is. And by the way, my good friend Jolene, okay, we're going to run a video in our digital magazine, Equity and Access, that's going to be linked, okay, in the advertising this next issue we're putting together. It's really good stuff. I invite everybody to check, and you guys have been good friends of ours, and I love the thought that goes into everything Northern Ivel does. It really does, Jolene. You and I are good friends, and I love that, okay, and I'm so glad you're here today. I really mean
that. We always appreciate your support and, you know, the ability for us to be able to sort of get our message out through such a meaningful platform that you provide means a lot to us. So we appreciate the support always.
Always my pleasure. And I'll tell you, you know, you guys make furniture, and Mark designs schools, and Brian runs them, but there's a lot more heart that goes into it, as you will learn as we go through the show today. So, Brian, you're the principal, but a school, it has to go through a bond issue, I'm sure, then the school board, okay, then the superintendent's office, and you obviously you were assigned to, I assume, to be the first principal of the school. How much input did you have as and everybody else as the school was being developed as a building? Brian Stocker.
Well, that process, I was a principal in the district already, and so I've been in the district going on 12 years. And so to be part of the process from the beginning of the first pencil beyond the paper and working collaboratively with Mark, you know, had kind of a blueprint with, hey, let's work on this. Let's look at this area. Let's look at this area over here. So from the beginning, I was part of a lot of decision-making process with Mark.
Wow.
A tremendous honor. So clear down to even designing the furniture and connecting with Norvin Ivel as part of that. First workshop that I went to in Atlanta, I ran into Jolene. So we kind of that, from that point
I had a vision
with.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She
yeah.
is. So
yeah.
we I had a big vision with Mark, and then it all fell together with a lot of different adjustments, but a lot of meetings that I was part of that normally probably doesn't happen, but was instrumental in creating a vision that supports our students today.
And when you say that supports the students today, and I assume it's – by the way, what you met in Atlanta was Hurricane Jolene, my buddy. Okay. Not just Jolene,
yes.
Hurricane Jolene.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's just great. All right. And, you know, when you say that, you know, what goes into – I mean, because a building is a building, but there's a pedagogy involved, okay, when you
yes.
design a school. All right, and as what you, I'm going to ask both of you, who it's kind of like who writes a Broadway, when you write the music for a Broadway show, what comes first, the lyrics or the music? Okay, what comes first when you design this? Maybe I'll ask Mark this. Mark, what comes first, the pedagogy or the design, or where do you start, lyrics or music?
You know, it's kind of a tough question because as a designer, I've always got spaces that I'm kind of sketching out in my head as I think about kind of a design directive from the owner. So, you know, I know for Brandon and I working together from the very beginning, and I'll tell you, we spent 18 months first in research and exploring, and I went on that Atlanta trip with him there down, you know, to explore opportunities. So we were into the research really thick and heavy, and then we got into design and put pencil to paper. But it was a, you know, 18-month process of working
wow.
through this. So from the very beginning, you know, as Brian and the administration there were talking about a different type of program and a unique type of education delivery model, you know, in my head,
go.
Of course, I'm instantly going to space in my head. But,
yeah.
you know, we don't get to pencil and paper for a while, you know, where we're really kind of doing a lot of research and exploration first.
Right. Let me ask you again, and I agree with that, okay, and I understand that. But let me throw it to Brian. Then, Brian, where do you start? Because you're the educator. You're going to use the building. You're going to use everything that's designed. So where do you start?
Well, I'd say that where I started was just probably prior to being asked to work on this building and understanding growth mindset with Carol Dweck's work. So that culture piece with inside my leadership style had kind of a vision with, you know, not creating a fixed space, but making sure that, you know, obviously we can't predict the needs of our students 10, 15 years from now. But what we need to be able to do is build
yeah.
solutions that are flexible and incorporating, you know, furniture and space that's not, you know, it is driven by what kids are needing in the moment. So that was probably a lot of the beginning work that kind of my thought process. Obviously, all the cute material and the fancy angles and things like that, that's more of the architect design. But I looked at, like, the processes and the flows. And, you know, I was in a building that was 50 years old that had some, you know, hallway after hallway and addition after addition. And they created a lot of brokenness in terms of the space. And so like I said, the Carol Dweck work with growth mindset, you know, changed my thought process in terms of what kids need 25 years or 30 years from now.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting the way you said that. That was a really good answer. You know, you want it to be flexible so it could be moved for the future, but the immediate need is what you have to build for. Okay, and that's a really interesting mix because, again, we don't know what we're training kids for. Who would have thought 25 years ago we'd be so technology-oriented and so digital in schools? Yet we have to build for that. God only knows what's coming in the future. We need a space. We'll need a flying saucer landing area pretty soon. Okay, we got who thinks about these
things? Absolutely, yep.
It's amazing. And I have to ask, Brian, you're the principal. I love that you were so involved in this. So I want to ask you, how involved were teachers and how involved was upper administration? I mean, I assume there's a director of facilities in the school district or somebody like that. How'd everybody work together and come up with a game plan?
Yeah, so the upper administration with Jason Taylor, who's going to be presenting with us here in a week or so, he was part of the design process as well, really leading the design thinking philosophy or thought process.
Who is Jason?
Jason Taylor's my director of human resources. He's my assistant superintendent.
Okay.
He's part of technology here in the district, but he kind of helped with that process and all the different ins and outs. But teachers really didn't come on board until we really started examining the furniture piece. And then there was a whole layout with furniture within the district and inside Walnut Grove, but also a design process that we implemented throughout the entire district. So teachers became an integral role once we got to that level. As far as like the building and different subgroups were part of it with our special education services to make sure that our rooms were equipped with the right design to support students needing additional support in that regards, our counseling services, they became part of it as well. But we didn't have teachers identified for this building until the building was pretty much 90% done.
How interesting. And that was, again, really an excellent answer. And it's really interesting the way this process happens. Is this the way it normally happens, Mark?
It actually, unfortunately, does not. Typically, we're working directly with school administration on developing a program, and very late in the game, perhaps there's a staff identified, and then they're brought in, and they're typically just engaged to help with the final details and finishes. This has been an excellent process working directly with Brian from the very beginning, and then as we went through design, as Brian mentioned, there were some folks brought in. Whether it be special education, food service, transportation, we even spent a lot of time working with the school's safety resource officer, the chief of police there, to factor in all kinds of safety and security measures into the program early in design. So that was all plugged in. But it was very beneficial to us as designers to have all those people at the table through the design process. So it was a process that allowed us to get all the right details and information in early. So it was a transformative process from that standpoint.
And, it's amazing because when I think of a school, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, I think of the classrooms, period, end of discussion. I think of the classrooms, okay?
Uh-huh.
But there's the office space, the back room planning of all the digital devices, et cetera, where all the wires go, the transportation area, the safety, all the bolts and things to make the kids feel safe, et cetera. It's just such an amazing process that has to go into this, and it's not only got to be ready for now, but for the future too. It's really, it's really something interesting. I want to swing over now, okay, to that furniture thing that Brian just talked about. Okay, Brian, you said that the teachers didn't come into it until the furniture. And what got you guys to Atlanta? What was besides Jolene? Was there a conference or something?
There was an EduSpace conference down there. I was invited to go down there, it was really examining and participating in listening.
Are you talking about EduSpace?
Down there, yeah.
Okay,
and so
cool. it was my first
conference, and I'm not sure if it was the first time that Norvin Ival had been in the United States, but I migrated towards their booth quite a bit because the sensory materials that was, on some of the, furniture, there are all kinds of companies, what I've learned in that process. But being trying to create a vision like an architect does from the 10,000 foot view, looking, taking the lid off the school, wasn't normally what I would do. I'm inside the walls trying to make sure processes are working all right. So looking at furniture and collaborating, knowing from that beginning that I needed some of these spaces, these pieces to complement what I do in the building, not because the building is a beautiful building, but because the multiple usages that I saw mm-hmm. in that display was probably the most critical piece in my design process. So teachers didn't come into play until we knew we were looking at utilizing some of the bond money to support the learning environment at Walnut Grove,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
the remaining five elementaries, 175 classrooms plus, with the same type of furniture. So we made some decisions to
wow.
start including teachers in this design thinking process, looking at the purpose of the classroom and the purpose of furniture and what our ultimate goals were, like trying to determine how can we support the needs of all students, not just at Walnut Grove, but across the entire district. So then that led us down to really examining through pilot programs and pilot classrooms how furniture adapts to the student need and how the students can utilize and move desks or the sensory pieces or collaborate in small groups, and the traditional desk quickly became not a focus point. And so,
yeah.
like I said, there was a long process. It took over a year and a half to do that process while the building was being constructed, but yet we made decisions, made adjustments, and we incorporated teachers throughout that process to come to a final conclusion. Norva Nival happened to be where we supported a lot of their furniture in our collaboration spaces, which are typically not found in a lot of the older buildings. And so their furniture came in and into play because of just the vision of that company and getting to talk with them about why they do what they do, and not as a selling point, but because of looking at that furniture and saying, yes, these kids deserve to have something that they can use now, but they can use 10 years from now.
Yep. Yep. It's great stuff. And Jolene, this is interesting. Okay. You know, I love what you guys do, and I am very familiar with it, as you know, but not everybody is. Jolene, talk about the difference, if there is one, between designing a classroom for a kindergarten class versus the fifth grader versus the space needed for a ninth grader, etc. And I know you guys are good at this. Again, it's Norva Nival, everybody. Jolene Levin, go ahead.
So, Larry, I think for us, and it's exactly what Brian has been speaking about, and, you know, I love the fact that he recognized that, I guess, in the way that we design and how everybody should be designing when they're thinking about education. But, you know, we used to always just think of furniture as something that's there, a place for a child to sit. But the impact of having the right type of furniture that's built with, you know, an intentional design process and putting that into a space, and thinking about the fact that, you know, it needs to be agile and it needs to be able to grow with the learners as they move through the spaces, that brings a different kind of mindset with it. And when you can sort of grab onto that mindset and design very, very sort of honed in on not only the types of spaces, but the intentional use of the spaces well into the future, you get a very different result out of furniture. So it becomes very much a part of the solution. It's very intentional. And, you know, when Mark was talking about designing with a growth mindset, well, you know, that's exactly how we design these pieces. It's kind of like, you know, a Lego environment. So we provide building blocks that we put into spaces that are intentional, that are able to help kids feel a certain way because of the way that they're
yeah.
able to now interact inside these
yeah.
spaces.
Yeah.
And that's when you get a very magical kind of result. Out of the school environment.
You know, you said it. It's not just you're not just designing a place for a kid to sit, but I was writing this down as you were talking. It's not designed for that. It's designed as a place for a kid to learn. All right, and there's
sure.
a big difference between the two: just sitting, okay, and learning. All right,
and
go ahead.
Sure.
Go
supporting.
Ahead.
Sorry, Larry, supporting a child in that learning means something different for every single child.
Absolutely.
And that's why creating these type of learning environments where difference, building in that difference, is the main thing that we focus on, that's where the power and magic is.
Hey, Larry, do you mind if I add on to what she's
no.
also shared? As a principal in the building, one of the greatest things that I've seen with the transformation with my teachers has, you know, we have a beautiful building and we have unbelievable furniture, but the creating that culture that takes those pieces and uses them and maximizes what kids are capable of doing. Oftentimes we have this fixed mindset that says, hey, there's that fancy piece of furniture, but we're not going to use it because we want a lot of control over what kids are doing in that space, where our environment and our culture here says, hey, listen, we have this space, use it. Use it how you need it right now. We're going to give you the ownership and the power of understanding how you can make decisions. And so there's a lot of pieces that go involved in creating a new school and selecting furniture. And we can't forget that when we give teachers that power and really encourage them to really look at the culture that they create with their kids, kids are very trustworthy. And they're tremendous individuals that do have a lot of decision making. And we have to guide them when they make a wrong decision, and we have to show them why. But at the same point in time, we can't let that furniture be so fixed on what they can't do, but really looking at what they're capable of doing.
Yeah. And Mark, you're not an educator. When you hear all this, okay, and it's very different from I'm older than all of you put together, okay, and if you added up all your ages, I'd still be older. Okay, and back when I was a kid, I think they literally nailed me to the seat, okay, with my pants. They just nailed me a couple of things, and I'd sit there all day, all right? But, you know, you're an architect and an mm-hmm. interior designer. And you hear these things coming from people in the education profession, like Jolene, if I may, who really gets down deep into this, and, of course, Brian. Okay, and then you heard from all the teachers and everybody else and the super – what goes through your mind as you hear all these things, okay, as – I'm going to say this, don't take it to heart – as an outsider to the profession, so to speak. You get what I mean.
I do get what you mean, absolutely. You know, so as Brian was kind of explaining – you know, we spent a lot of time thinking about intentionality on design and furniture and how the building would function. And, you know, kind of what Brian was explaining there is that the building is used and very flexible. And I've kind of seen every time I walk back into the building, whenever I make a visit, it looks different every time because the furniture is rearranged
great.
And teachers
that's great.
And the kids. And that's okay. That's how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to, you don't have to reset the furniture. You just allow it to change and the kids will make it work. So to your question, as in sort of what you'd say an outsider, someone working in the private
sector. Yeah, you know
what
I mean. Yeah. You know, no insult intended.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what I might say to that is, you know, what I see coming from more the private sector is the reason this is so important in our early learning spaces today, schools should be embracing this more because I see this happening in the private sector where careers are becoming much more focused and specialized. And in my industry, I see constantly a growing need for collaboration. And so for kids to learn those early skills on working together, collaborating, become active participants in the learning process is only going to help them prepare them for a future where in the private sector, we're becoming increasingly more focused, specialized, and needing to collaborate ever more.
That was very well said. You know, our job is to make kids ready for life. We sometimes say college and career ready, though I just drop the college part and just say career ready, since that's what college is supposed to do anyway, okay? And using the school, okay, and the collaborative effect of its environment, okay, to create collaboration among the kids, okay, the flexibility. I use the word, the furniture, as you said, it changes each time you walk in. It's like it's organic. It's constantly evolving, okay?
Absolutely.
And then you take that, okay, as you evolve, and that becomes a skill that just becomes baked in, okay, as you enter the workforce. That's really an interesting point. I got to tell you, that's very clever, Mark. You can write a book on that one. Okay. Write a book on that one. It's really good. Boy, for an outsider, you're really a smart guy. Just kidding. You are not an outsider. Okay, you are not an outsider. All right, but that was pretty good. I got to tell you. So all this says, I'm sure that it was a very smooth process and nobody had any challenges and everything. You just made a decision. Everybody agreed. You moved on to the next thing. I know that did not happen. okay? What were the roadblocks, okay, and the concerns, et cetera, and how'd you push through them? And I think I'll start with Brian and go over to Mark and then Jolie. Brian, roadblocks.
From a school standpoint, a lot of the roadblocks really was looking at the design thinking process with learning space and defining our goals and our parameters and all those pieces and revolving around what we traditionally felt kids needed, and really examining what we are learning about what kids need more than ever right now in terms of flexible space. I think Norva Nival's website says design makes the difference, and that phrase is important in what we do in schools, because that roadblock of, well, I can't do this, I'm so used to rows and columns or this specific pathway. Our roadblocks, really, because we invested so much time with teachers and the pilot process and looking at furniture and different modalities, we were able to create a thought process that said, okay, maybe we have a fixed classroom, and maybe this will work better down the road, or maybe this will provide us more opportunities. We can still create cluster groups, or we can create groups of four, or we can move to singletons, or we can do whatever. The roadblocks in terms of furniture was just a fixed mindset of what we had gone through in education back in the day, was very fixed mindset. So as far as finances and things like that, I was able to work with Norva Nival on that design piece. I didn't have them design those spaces. It was more or less like, okay, I like this piece that they had to offer. So we didn't really get many roadblocks on that. It really came into play when school finally started back this past fall, last year in 2019, and teachers looking at the furniture going, wow, what do we do with this? And my response was, ask kids what you do with this. Ask kids how you can organize this. And so, instead of a me mentality or what am I supposed to do with this? I said, ask the kids. They will tell you what to do with this, because they're extremely creative. And sure enough, that led to grade levels in classrooms looking at the furniture to how the kids would use it versus so much being controlled from the adult town.
I love that. I love that. That's just terrific. And boy, does that answer a lot of questions right there. I got to tell you, Jolene, you told me a story last, I think it was you, and I'm not sure it was this school. The learning environment makes a difference, and not only for academics, but it also makes a difference for social emotional learning. Okay, and Jolene, did you tell me a story? Was it Walnut Grove you're talking about? How a kid walked in, and a kid who was having troubles, and all of a sudden they got it so used to the environment so quickly, and it made a big difference. Was that you? Tell me that, Jolene.
Larry, we see that all the time in every environment that we do. You know, it's quite an incredible thing, and it's something that has surprised us. You know, as we started to get into this 11 years ago. Every time that we would, be involved or create a new space, and then we would see the reaction in the space. But to Brian's point, you can put furniture into a building and you can create these incredible spaces. But, if you are not prepared to hand over the reins to the educators and to the learners to be able to use that space to its full maximum potential, you're not going to get out of it what Walnut Grove Elementary is getting out of it. So the process and the time that they put up front in seeking to really understand what these spaces could do for them, and then allowing the educators and the kids into the process, and then handing the reins over to the kids to be able to control that process, that is where it changes absolutely everything. And even for kids, it's okay for them to make bad decisions and good decisions around the space. What we're hoping to do is be a part of the process of growing that child. And I think it's, when you see this in action and you actually see how these spaces can help kids make good decisions, bad decisions, understand what they need in order to get that task done, or what they need at that point in time to make themselves feel good and open to learning, that's when you know that you've hit the mark in terms of creating that perfect balance between education and learning environments.
Well said, my dear. Well said. I got to tell you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, Jolene might have shared with you when we had the furniture initially installed. One of my students on the spectrum came out and was lounging around on some of the furniture, and then a few minutes later, I come down the hallway, and he's got this train with these different shaped seats that we had already put in these spaces, and he was so extremely proud of his creation. He didn't want us to take it down. He felt that that was his space and that it was his little safety zone. But in terms of the social and emotional piece, the furniture itself gives students the ability to really use it as a multisensory output or some piece like that. But besides the color and the vibrance and the functionality of all that Northern Ivel has to offer, I can't express enough that when people take the time to really examine what furniture they have to offer and the multiple functional pieces that are out there, they'll come away just really thinking, oh my gosh, like what am I missing? Like I've been missing a lot in terms of what we provide the kids every day just through this piece of furniture that has four different seating setups to it. So, that's probably the story she was referring to.
I think it was. And,
What Brian said as well, because it's very often that kids like that have sat on the fringes of education, for a very, very long time. And by creating these kinds of environments and inviting them into the process like this, it just creates such a dynamic experience for those learners that typically and ordinarily have struggled inside a traditional learning space.
As I said at the beginning of the show, we have our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our magazine is called Equity and Access. And when you can create a place that gives kids access to be themselves and to learn and to function comfortably, okay, it makes all the difference in the world. And I got to ask that. Brian, from the teachers, have they seen a difference in the way the kids react to school? And I know it's a strange year. Please don't misunderstand that. It is a nuts year, but just in general, as you went through this last year, et cetera. Yeah.
I feel that they do. They came from five different elementaries within the district.
Yeah.
But like I said, that furniture is a piece of what our kids see as them being comfortable in their learning space. I preach the love and joy of teaching is not a selfish profession, and it's meant to be a giving profession for all of our kids. And in what we do in guiding them through this world today, they have to feel safe. They have to feel like they can take a breather. They can step out. As adults, we do that. So, we created this environment where kids see and feel loved and they have fun. I mean, even if it was a 100-year-old building and you brought in furniture that allows them to do that, there's a purpose to it.
Right.
We have to get past the idea that teaching is so, this is what I do and this is how it should be. And we should be looking at, okay, this is what this kid needs. So what do we do to help them get what they need?
It's really cool. And I want to ask the architect one thing. We got to go in a few minutes. But, Mark, did you leave anything out? Okay, you created this incredible space. But did you go, oh, my God, we forgot this. Like, oh, my God, I forgot the power steering. Okay, what did you leave anything out? Okay, I'm just curious. Because everything's always changing out there. Did you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We did factor in a lot, all the bells and whistles, and Brian can really kind of explain this in detail how they're using it. But you think about this building that's so non-traditional, it's student-focused. And so, we've got a learning riser and a learning tree with, these mounds of artificial turf the kids climb on. We've got a spiral slide in there. We got a STEM lab that can be configured in multiple ways. And then the furniture that can be reconfigured and spill out in these collaboration commons. I think about where we're at in education design, where we've come in the last, 10, 20 years. We're at a really exciting inflection point.
We are.
And I think everything that we've learned about active learning and how it enables kids and prepares them for a future career. And then as we've been sort of bombarded with the realities of living in a post-pandemic world.
Yeah.
I see all the design impacts of students with active learning spaces being even more important now. So, Brian, I don't know, can you think of anything that we might have left out of the design?
Brian.
I had a wish list that was a mile long. Yeah, I would say, you know, I wouldn't say we left anything out. I would simply say that our space loves kids and all of it. And so that phrase is what I use in terms of, like, our space loves kids and it has a future that will last forever.
Yeah, wow, that's about – I think we're going to leave it right there. Jolene, as
wow.
always, my dear, yep. wow, what great folks, okay? NorvaNivel.com. Just like it sounds, everybody, NorvaNivel, NIVEL.com. Okay, Mark Beebe, LancerBeebe.com, BEEBE, LancerBeebe.com, right? And also, if you go to LancerBeebe.com, you'll be able to see Walnut Grove Elementary School. It looks like something out of the Jetsons. Remember that cartoon? It looks great, man. You actually get a tour. Okay, unbelievable. And Brian, you keep up the good work. One last question real quick. Are things okay with the pandemic at Walnut Grove?
Absolutely. We're teaching kids how we would any other year in terms of showing
good.
them what life is supposed to be, and nothing's a challenge that stops us, but it's an opportunity to get better.
Good. That is absolutely
wow.
excellent. I'm glad to hear it. It's these are crazy times. Okay, crazy
mm-hmm.
times. So anyway, I congratulate you on everything you've accomplished, my friend, you and your faculty and your staff and your administration. Mark, thank you so much. Jolene, as always, I love you dearly. And all of you, if you haven't voted yet, go vote. Okay, I'm getting rid of you so you can go vote. Okay?
All right.
Go vote.
Thank you.
Right?
Thanks.
Thanks, Yang.
Bye, Larry.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Larry, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And you heard me, everybody. Go vote if you haven't voted already. It's election day. All right, and November 3rd. Hey, that was great. Walnut Grove Elementary School in Greenwood, Indiana. Okay, really, really cool, I got to tell you. Wow, Brian, thanks a million. Continued good luck with that. Mark, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much. And my friend Jolene, check it out, NorvaNivel Furniture. They really do care and they make a difference. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org, and you can follow us on EduTalk Radio if you want. My name is Larry Jacobs. Join our consortium, ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. It's free to educators. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. Go vote.